This is a special report from ABC Radio News. The news department of the ABC Radio Network presents The Johnson Doctrine, a Dominican update, a third special report on the crisis in the Dominican Republic, with ABC correspondents Don Gardner and Wally Bruner, Merwin Seigal, and Bob Funk in Santo Domingo, Ted Koppel at Kennedy Airport in New York, and John Scally in London. Here is Don Gardner.
For 16 days, United States Marines and troops of the 82nd Airborne Division have been on duty in the Dominican Republic. While diplomats talked at the United Nations, in the Organization of American States, and in the Dominican Republic, the streets of Santo Domingo echoed to the sounds of war. In one 24-hour period ending today, the 82nd's paratroopers were involved in 8 shooting incidents. In the first 2 weeks, rebel snipers have killed 18 Americans. Listen closely. This was the sound of battle in Santo Domingo.
The lieutenant is dead, sir. He was right across the street from me. They blowed his head off. And Bacalca, Stephen has a finger blowed over me. The hip wound.
Okay, just get out here. Take care of this man.
I'm okay first.
Get those people back!
Is he hurt bad down there?
Yeah, just one. He'll live, though. No blood or nothing.
Where'd he get hit at?
Hip wound. His chicken ass. Watch this, sir.
Hey, Shrek, go up and get my command, dear.
Get back so they can see you from that corner. Is the corner building, see with the white Venetian?
Yeah.
No, 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 no! That guy's equity will hit you, man. Get back!
He hit nothing but my head.
Let me see that.
Where's the lieutenant at?
He went into my mouth.
Where's the lieutenant at?
His chips got me. The bullet didn't get him.
Shot.
What?
Help. Street! Wide open.
That suspect and the lieutenant are still on the sidewalk, sir. Stephen, Sergeant Kelly brought him out.
Okay, Lieutenant, how far down is it?
Almost all the way, sir. About a half a block from the target where they're firing from.
The scene, the corridor in Santo Domingo, a narrow stretch of the city secured by American forces, the target of deadly snipers hoping and at times succeeding to pick off American troops. Listen.
Hey, check out that knot up under my helmet. There's one right in the center.
You got one man got a finger completely gone almost, you know.
Well, I'm from the 1st 504. I'm laying friend here, you know.
You got two men hit. One got hit right here.
Are you down there?
Yeah, that lieutenant stepped out there standing straight up.
Well, you got a little knot up there.
I saw everybody knot. I'm alive.
Alive, to stay alive, that's the hope of Americans on duty in the Dominican Republic. ABC sound man Bob Funk, in an interview with one of those Americans, a bullet-punctuated interview.
What's your name, Private?
George Banks.
Where are you from?
Danville, Virginia.
All right. You say the lieutenant's dead down there?
Yeah, the lieutenant is dead, and we have another man, PFC John A. Steffens. He was hit in the thigh, in the left thigh, and his left hand's index finger's gone, and Private John Beskin. I don't know where he's. All I could see was the blood trickling down. And the lieutenant was trying to rescue Steffens, and he stepped up. He was hit almost simultaneously.
Right there. Still down there?
Yeah, it's about 4.
How far down?
The green building on the corner, about 2 blocks down, white Venetian, this anchoring thing they have.
I see,
he stepped directly into it.
All right! Damn, they're making a mess.
We were trying to remove Steffens and at the same time spot the target. And the lieutenant, he wasn't aware of where they were firing from, and he stepped off the same side of the street that they were firing from.
Another ABC correspondent has been shot at almost every day in the corridor of Santo Domingo, Wally Bruner.
There's no doubt that this is war, and I'm in the middle of it right now. How's it look to you, Sarge?
Looks pretty good.
Can you come a little closer to the mic?
Under control.
You think you got it under control now?
Oh, yeah, we think so.
Did you get the sniper?
They got two of them down there. Captain Lady said they got two of them.
They got two snipers, Captain?
You get two of them, Jack?
We've got two.
Wally Bruner, ABC News, in the corridor of Santo Domingo.
And as the street fighting continued this past week, President Johnson, in a speech before the National Association of Home Builders in Washington on Monday, defended the American intervention and spoke of U.S. determination to meet its responsibilities.
Be they friend or be they foe, let none anywhere entertain either the needless fear or the futile hope that this nation will ever falter in meeting all of its responsibilities. Yes, we have responsibilities to freedom, and we shall meet them. We have responsibilities to peace, and we shall honor them. We seek accord among all nations and understanding among all peoples. Our first purpose, America's only purpose, is to work with others for the good of all mankind. But let this be clear. If a choice must be made, we would rather that men quarrel with our actions to preserve peace than to curse us through eternity for inaction that might lose both our peace and our freedom. Thank you and good night.
The president's remarks made it plain that United States forces would stay in Santo Domingo until an OAS force could take over or until stability returned to the Dominican Republic. But at the United Nations, the Security Council heard an appeal from Uruguay, the Uruguayan's delegate saying his country
urgently appeals to all conflicting factions in the Dominican Republic to cease hostilities and make all possible efforts to achieve a peaceful settlement and a democratic solution to their differences.
The UN met in several sessions to hear the Soviet Union demand condemnation of the American intervention, but the debate was more often than not a Cold War verbal duel between Adlai Stevenson and Russia's Nikolai Fedorenko.
The Soviet delegation would wish again to draw the attention of members of the Security Council to the danger of the situation created by the aggression of American imperialism against the Dominican Republic. That aggression constitutes or represents the present policy of the American imperialists, oriented towards the flagrant interference in the affairs of other countries, especially smaller countries, the unbridled application of armed force in the interests of their own in their own self-interest. Yesterday, the victims of American imperialism were Congo and Panama. Today, they're the people of Vietnam and the Dominican Republic. Tomorrow, if aggression is not halted, there will be other small countries. That is why the Security Council must take urgent and effective measures in order to halt and put an end to the aggression of American imperialism in regard to the Dominican Republic, in order to ensure that the troops of the interventionists are immediately withdrawn from the territory of a sovereign state, a member of the United Nations. Thank you, Mr. President.
I now call on the distinguished representative of the United States.
The remarks of the Ambassador Fedorenko this morning add little to what we have heard from him on several times a day for most of the past week. He has again grossly distorted the views and the policies of the United States, the true perspective on the action that we have taken has already been stated by me here in the Council. I shall attempt once more to state it in capsule form. First, the United States action in the Dominican Republic was to protect the lives and to give the Inter-American, lives of foreign nationals, and to give the Inter-American system a chance to deal with the situation in the Dominican Republic, which was within its competence. Second, the United States forces are not asserting any authority to govern any part of the Dominican Republic and are not taking sides in the conflict. Third, the United States fully supports the vigorous action which the Organization of American States has taken to deal with this situation, including the historic step establishing an inter-American force. Fourth, the United States forces will be withdrawn from the Dominican Republic when the command of the OAS, OAS command of the Inter-American Force determines that they are not needed. I must add, however, that fifth, we believe that the people of the Dominican Republic, as I have said repeatedly, should fully, freely choose their own government. Our action had the purpose of preserving that right, a choice which would have been denied, perhaps irretrievably, if the forces at work to capture the revolution last week had succeeded. As to the question of intervention in the internal affairs of other states, the Soviet representative is in no doubt an expert. His government has, as a matter of principle and of policy, been carrying on such intervention for decades by the open use of armed force in Eastern Europe, by conspiracy and subversion elsewhere. This communist intervention is no myth, it's no rhetorical dream, it's no debating point, but a nightmarish reality to which hundreds of thousands of refugees all over the world have testified.
While the UN debated, the United States was working through the Organization of American States to ensure Dominican peace. Secretary of State Dean Rusk, who had put off going to a NATO meeting in London to keep in touch with the hemisphere crisis, finally left for London, where ABC's John Scali met him at the airport.
Are you convinced that if we had not moved as quickly as we did, that there would have been a communist regime established in the Dominican Republic?
Well, I think that at the time we put our troops in there, the problem was one of saving lives, including the lives of a good many Europeans. I think if they would ask their own ambassadors down there about whether it was necessary, they'd get the answer that it was.
Mr. Secretary, how long will American troops remain in the Dominican Republic?
Well, we've indicated that we can bring out the American troops, other than those that join the Inter-American Force, just as soon as the Inter-American Force is in place. And we hope that'll be in the next several days.
Does the present rebel side still have some communist elements in it, from what you can tell?
We think that there are communist elements in the downtown part of Santo Domingo. But the OAS committee and the Papal Nuncio are working among the parties there to try to find a basis for a government that can govern the country pending elections.
The United States, through the OAS and individuals, is trying to find a political solution to the crisis triggered by a 19-day civilian revolt against the government of the Dominican Republic. It is the American position that neither the rebels nor the ruling junta can individually at this time establish a government. Without a stable government, there can be no guarantee of peace. U.S. forces are on the scene to prevent civil war until there is a government. The United States ambassador to the OAS, Ellsworth Bunker, warned,
"The present situation cannot continue much longer. Unless peace and normal conditions are quickly restored, there is a clear and present danger of a rapid deterioration of the situation into large-scale hostilities with needless bloodshed."
And Bunker called attention to the calendar, to the need for quick action.
"I must, however, Mr. Chairman, emphasize the fact that 2 weeks have now gone by without the restoration of the peaceful and normal conditions which it is the objective of the OAS to obtain.
There are many who feel that the presence of United States forces on Dominican soil is a necessity, but it is also an irritant. As the president of the ruling military junta, General Antonio Imbert, said,
the only thing we want is the OAR going to send their troops over here. And they would remain till the situation is normal, and right away, as soon as it's normal, we want all the troops to get out of our countries.
And that country in the past days has been relatively quiet, as Merwin Seigel reported.
Here in the American-held security zone, people are now venturing outside in large numbers. Some are responding to a back-to-work call issued by anti-rebel forces. But commerce is still largely non-existent and money hard to come by. A few stores are beginning to reopen, but most remain closed because of fear or lack of goods to sell. Nobody here pretends this is the Santo Domingo that was. Soldiers and guns are everywhere, and the crack of gunfire comes without warning.
And Seigel says this week so far is one of the quietest since the rebellion started 19 days ago. Some signs of normalcy are returning to Santo Domingo, as Lieutenant General Bruce Palmer told ABC.
Well, it's encouraging to see the signs of the city begin to breathe again and come to life. You see many more people. The stores are starting to open. You see the muchachos with pop and ice cream and whatnot. People seem to be happy. They're moving around freely. It just makes your heart good to see the city coming back again.
And it was to encourage that feeling of normalcy that the band of the 82nd Airborne Division had a parade. ABC's Wally Bruner called the parade the gutsiest display I've ever seen, and he talked to the 82nd's Major General Robert York while the band paraded in the corridor.
General, can you tell us now what we're doing here?
Yes, we're doing it because we thought the people would enjoy it, number one. It gives the impression of normalcy.
In an area of the city that had been marked by bloodshed, the band marched proudly. No rebel shots fired. Children chased happily after the band. In New York, another sign of normalcy. The first commercial airliner to arrive from Santo Domingo since the fighting started. Ted Koppel questioned one of the passengers.
How was it these last few days?
Oh, terrible. Yes, terrible. Well, it's a lot of... the fighting is still going on. The American troop is going too far into the rebels' territory, and they're shooting every night.
It has been a bloody 2 weeks. Rebel snipers taking pot shots at Americans and taking their toll in dead and wounded. The Americans today widened their security zone in Santo Domingo, a zone generally surrounding foreign embassies, widened it to include the French embassy, which has given the rebels tacit recognition. But the military and diplomatic sides of the Dominican situation are only part of the picture. There is the problem of explaining the U.S. intervention to the rest of Latin America. The USIA's Carl Rowan says,
the voice of America is broadcasting and has been for the last 10 days, 24 hours a day in Spanish, giving the facts of the United States' involvement in the Dominican Republic. We're informing the rest of the world in 37 other languages of these same facts, but particularly, we want the people of Latin America to know of the earnest desire of our government and our people for a responsible democratic government for that tragic island.
And while Carl Rowan's Voice of America carried the word overseas, there were other voices pro and con in America. A denunciation of the American intervention came from Oregon Senator Wayne Morse.
And I don't care how this administration spells it out by its semantics. The fact is that the United States moved in, went way beyond evacuating American nationals, took sides in a revolution, and we're going to be years, in my judgment, trying to rectify the great mistake that we made.
On the favorable side, supporting the president's action in the Dominican Republic, Texas Republican Senator John Tower.
At long last, it appears we're returning to a meaningful policy in the Caribbean. The president's decision to send American troops into the Dominican Republic to protect the lives of Americans and other foreign nationals was the right course to take. Subsequent developments in Santo Domingo, particularly the communist takeover of the revolution there, only proves the rightness of the American decision.
Support for that decision also from former President Eisenhower.
On the assumption, which I do assume, that communist agitators were trying to take over a government, they were creating disorder in a whole nation and endangering the peace of the entire organization of the American states, I think it was exactly necessary, and I think that the president's action was in keeping with the necessity.
And that necessity has cost a score of American lives. There was another effect, a side effect to be sure. The American military commitments in the Dominican Republic and Vietnam have put a steady drain on U.S. manpower and prompted an unusual request to Navy men on duty by Secretary of the Navy Paul Nitze.
All of you recognize the need for experienced officers and men to carry out our assigned missions effectively and efficiently in a combat environment. In this situation, I urge each officer and enlisted man whose term of service is soon to expire to make a personal contribution to meeting the present challenge by voluntarily extending your active duty.
It is hoped that an eventual OAS force will ease the strain on the American military establishment. Deputy Defense Secretary Cyrus Vance told ABC.
As units move in, we will then, of course, consider withdrawing our forces back to the United States. Let me say in this connection that we are making preparations to airlift contingents from various countries as they are contributed so that we can bring them as rapidly as possible into the Dominican Republic.
To that end, Latin American countries have informally indicated they might contribute up to 2,000 men for an inter-American force. That's about one-tenth the number of Americans already on duty. The OAS continues its efforts to break the political stalemate. The hope is for a broadly based coalition form of government in the Dominican Republic, but it seems clear that the United States will not permit any government to be formed with even the hint of communism. For the past 2 weeks have proved one thing, if nothing else. The Johnson Doctrine will not allow communism to expand its Cuban-based foothold in the Western Hemisphere.
This has been another ABC Radio News special report. The Johnson Doctrine, a Dominican update, with Don Gardner and ABC newsmen in Santo Domingo, New York, and London. Written and produced by Paul Jeffers, directed by Joe Dennehy. Executive producer, Nicholas George. Audio engineering by Richard Aronson and Bob Barton. This is George Hayes. ABC correspondents remain on the scene in the Dominican crisis. Their reports, part of ABC Radio's hourly coverage of the news of the moment, on this ABC radio station.